Hey, what it do with the business is?
It is another week in the books with the On Deck TV podcast. I am Spike Lou.
Man, holler at your boy Animal Brown, Animal underscore Brown, if you're looking for me on social media.
I am Spike Lou on the same social sites. Catch me out here in these tweet streets holding it down.
I saw you got a haircut. You on these real streets, nigga. Fuck wrong.
Tough. I had to go get me a cut, man. I was looking like first day out, Gucci. I had to go take care of that. You ain't been to the barbershop since we've been in this?
Nah, I'm good.
My barber, I tried to get him to come to the house. He wouldn't come. And when I went to go holler at him, finally, like, nah, I couldn't come, man, because I didn't want to hit you with that 150 for the travel fee. I'm saying, my nigga, I'm glad you didn't, because you would have had to spend the night.
Yeah,
you
would have
never gotten out of me for no cut.
At 150. So, shout out my guy, man. Freshery, but Jesus.
Shout out Freshery, man. Y'all go check him out in the AE right above Slim Huskies. Shout out Slim Huskies, too.
150 nuts.
That 150 is crazy.
Call
haircut. How your quarantine going? You back out in these streets or what?
I mean, I've been moving around a little bit, though. For real. Restaurants opening back up slowly but surely. Had to get my temperature taken to walk into this restaurant. That was interesting.
Word on the streets is you ain't wearing no mask or nothing. You just out here like barebacking.
I'm already ill, nigga. I don't need no mask, nigga. I'm already ill, nigga.
You're doing your usual out here.
But you're famous for Jack.
I'm masked up out here in these streets, man. I don't know where people been at.
Now, listen, after these protests, if it ain't a massive spike in a week, because that'll be 2 weeks from the protest. If it ain't a massive spike in a week, we might have got shucked. I'm going to be honest. Yeah.
True. That's a fact. Shout out to everybody that voted, man. By the time y'all hear this, the primaries would be over. Shout out to everybody that went out there and got it done. I know you went and voted, right?
Absolutely.
Man, they tried to hold us back down here in Georgia. It was a whole lot of bullshit going on.
I heard. My shit was smooth, though. I walked in, walked out.
Okay. You live on a white part of town then. Gotcha.
They recognize the real nigga walking through. They was right here, sir.
Oh, you voting for Trump? Come on. Yeah, but it was a lot of bullshit going down. Hopefully everybody got to get their votes in, man. Well, shout out to that.
For sure, man. We got an action-packed episode, man. Back to the regularly scheduled program. Last week, we had to switch it up a little bit. Important shit to talk about going on
facts,
in the world.
Man. A lot of good feedback on that, too, man. We appreciate the people that gave us some feedback on that. We're glad that you guys enjoyed it. A lot of much needed. So, you know, we got to have a good conversation. People got to enjoy it. That's what we're here for.
Absolutely, man. We back to the business on this week's show. Akon links up with Yo Boy Tekashi. Fat Joe passed on Drake for Jay-Z. And we review Run the Jewels 4. This is our
RTJ.
First Run the Jewels review out of the 4.
Kill your masters.
This should be real fun. But first, GLC says Kanye West faked his support for Trump so he could free innocent people from jail. Here's the quote. Kanye actually gave me the boxes of hats and said, I'm never wearing these again. We had a conversation and I explained it to him, the hurt that was attached to it. He said he's never wearing it again. And he was like, bro, I'm just telling you that we got the amazing women out of jail from Florida, right? We didn't really get to have that meeting until I put that hat on. End quote. Do you believe Kanye faked his support for Trump to free people from jail?
Absolutely not. We all know that Kanye West is not that well thought out. He's more of a sporadic person. So for GLC to come and say, hey, this is the real plan, there's no way on earth I would believe that Kanye is that thought out, like I said. GLC originally on Van Lathan's Red Pill podcast did say, this was back in February of 2019, he said that Kanye gave him the hats and said that he wasn't going to wear them. So I think that that's an old quote. The sources for this story are very, very sketchy at best. Came from showbiz.net, showbiz cheat sheet. I didn't find it anywhere else, so I'm really not even sure that this happened. They asked Kanye West for they were waiting on a response or something, a statement pertaining to this. He hasn't let anything out on that. But to address it, I would say if it was that thought out and if he did do it to get that lady out of jail, I don't think it was worth it. I don't think sacrificing that many fans in exchange for one person to get out of jail when there was already things being worked towards in her favor when Kim Kardashian was doing it. I don't think that him going to meet with Trump pushed it over the top. I think she was going to be able to get that done regardless. So shout out to Kim and that campaign that she's has going on with getting people out of jail. But I just don't see where the two tie in. I just don't see where him saying Trump is like my father and all of these things. And even to top it off, Kim Kardashian said when people asked her about Trump that he doesn't follow the politics of it anyway. He's more into Trump's personality. Mm. It's not a political thing. So I would doubt that he even knows what he would be able to do if he did act like he was just doing it for political gain. So I don't believe this at all. I'm not buying it. What about your mans? I know you willing to take this. What you think?
I see you. Yay. Get the fuck Let's out of go. Here, We're playing chess. Just like LL Cool J said last week, and everybody else is playing checkers. Okay.
No.
I see you, yay. I never turn my back. I always believed in my. Nah, I'm bushing. This is Cal. This is big Cal.
I was waiting on that.
He lied his ass off, dude. First off,
to be fair, it's GLC. Kanye didn't say this.
That's true. That's a fact. To be fair, this is not coming from the horse's mouth. This is from a former Good Music artist, GLC. And who knows if he even still talks to Kanye.
Allegedly, they're cool right now. Allegedly,
that's number one.
I don't believe that, right?
But I don't believe this. I think he saw what the results happened from it and then found a way to kind of spin it, if he even said this shit. He may have said, yes, I did look a certain way, but at least something positive came from it. That doesn't mean that was your intention from the start. Like, let's be clear about that. And then him and T.I. even made a song that people, Ye versus the People, where they were going back and forth debating his support for Trump. And nowhere in that song did he mention about get people free from anything. And even if that was the case, that was his plan. Nigga, this song would have never even got made. Nigga, him and T.I. would have been off in the cuts over here and said, bro, what I'm really trying to do is I'm really trying to get these people.
Exactly.
And the song would have never, T.I. would have was all the way drawn in on the fact that he was supporting the hell out of Trump. So he was fooled. Everybody was fooled or whatever you want to call it. But that song doesn't happen. A lot of these conversations don't happen if this was actually the plan, because I feel like he would have shared that. And you know what I'm saying? And people would have been all on one accord if we keep it at 100.
Yeah, that makes sense. And I think that this is a chance to talk about or unpack something here as far as what Kanye West does behind this whole political thing. He stated that he hasn't voted before. He did vote for Trump in 2016. He stated he's not following politics and he doesn't support Trump because of political things. It's more his personality. He likes his style.
Right.
To be fair, man, there's nothing wrong with that. Like, if you like Trump, that's cool, bro. Like, that's cool. Y'all can be friends. Y'all can have dinner. Y'all can meet outside of what's going on. But there's a political gain here for Trump, and he's just manipulating Kanye West. Even, like, if Kanye West tells me I don't follow politics, but I like Donald Trump, and I'm going to vote for him, to me, that's tone deaf. To use the word of the day, and he's not reading the room properly, to use the phase of the hour, it seems like if he was going to do this, then he would know the backlash that he would get. But since he doesn't follow this politically, he's only thinking about himself. He's in a bubble. And he thinks, oh, since I like this guy, it's cool for me to wear his hat. Since I like this guy, it's cool for me to say that he's influenced me. But that's not cool from a political standpoint. From a personal standpoint, it's fine. He can like whoever he likes. But from a political standpoint, since he's not as involved, I just think it would be better for him to just be quiet.
I agree. And he's been quiet recently, but has made more noise necessarily with the visions with the visuals, because he was marching in Chicago. Allegedly, he's made a donation to the families of George Floyd, Breonna Taylor, and Ahmaud Arbery, a big boy check to be split up between the three. So, I mean, that's more of the George EA.
Floyd. He put money in his kids' college fund for
George. I saw that, too. Yeah, that's more of the Kanye people were probably used to a decade ago. But that, we said this on the last show. everybody doesn't need to make a statement. Everybody doesn't need to show who they support politically. Some people, if you rich and famous and you want to make a difference, man, just write a check. Let's just do that and just get out the way. I don't need a statement. I don't need nothing. Like, you're going to fuck it up, and you're going to show your ignorance that you're not paying attention to what's going on, and you're going to say some goofy shit. So just keep it low.
And whether we want to admit it or not, the stakes are higher for black celebrities. The stakes are a lot higher for Trump, for Kanye West to say he supports Trump and the backlash that he would get than it is for John Stamos. Like, it's just a different connotation because there's so much that comes with it. Like, black people are still trying to get a voice. They're still trying to be heard, as we see with everything that's going out in the streets now. So if you get one of the most prominent people saying, well, I support this guy, I don't see what you guys see wrong. He's a good guy. It's cool. He can be a good guy. But I don't know if he has the best interest for people that look like you in mind. And you should be cognizant of that when you're out there saying that, hey, I like him. In my opinion.
I see you, yeah.
But shout out to Kanye West for what he's did, though.
Put some respect on his name.
Shout out to him for that donation. I fuck with that. Somebody should have jawed. I ain't gonna lie. Somebody should have jawed him out there. Just to bring it back to reality.
Not in Chicago. That's a city.
That would have been funny. Somebody just hit Kanye West in the mouth and just be like, just straighten up, bro. Just walk off. Straighten up, my nigga. Tighten up, bro. Just
security would have mocked him.
Just tighten him up real quick. You know what I'm saying? Moving on. Yeah. Next that we have. Akon, your man's Locked Up fame, starting a city in Africa fame. He hooked up with your boy Tekashi for Locked Up 2. They got on Instagram Live. Tekashi showed out his new lace front with this 36 inches. Tell me this. Is it fair or foul that they killed Akon online for doing Locked Up 2 with Tekashi?
Well, I don't know. Before I even answer that, let me be clear.
Okay.
Akon is a living legend. He's provided.
I wasn't expecting that.
You said who?
I wasn't expecting that.
Akon is a legend. Like, providing electricity for 15 countries in Africa, working on his own Akon city in Senegal that will use only cryptocurrency. Like, all of these are big boy moves. Finding Lady Gaga, all the shit that he done on the solo tip. Like, even down to the video of him dunking on the video girls and it had all heels on and he was just dunking on them left and right. This is legendary shit. Like, I will give Akon that. However, on this though, nigga, he's way off on this. Like, he is tripping with no map. He said he would work with Tekashi when he get out. So he's doing what he said he would do. He said he would be interested in working with him, but it makes him look thirsty. And here's the thing. I want people to understand that people are not hot at Tekashi hot at Akon for working with Tekashi just because he snitched. That's not the worst offense. It's because Tekashi is making a mockery out of the culture. Like, that's the part that people are leaving out. He's making rap look like a clown show, and OGs like Akon should know that this isn't the play. He should know that, and he's letting the hood down right now. Because he's fucking with dude is making it's just making it like a joke. It makes it like a parody. The nigga had the Megan Thee Stallion ponytail, bro. Like, he just looks like a clown, bro. So, Akon should know better. He's letting the hood down. He's a legend, but he's fucking up his rep right now.
I'm halfway joking here when I say this, and I'm going to steal a line from Kanye West. Africans don't care about black people. So Akon don't care that Tekashi violated some street code of snitching that niggas don't fuck with here in America. Like you said, this nigga put whole cities on and giving them lights in Africa. As many people know, Lady Gaga is one of his artists, and we know the extremes that she went to get noticed on her come up. And I think Akon sees the same thing here. He sees this guy's persevering through the snitch label, hops out, goes to IG Live, gets 2 million people on there, whatever the number was. And Akon sees this as a business opportunity. Akon is way more successful as an executive with artists like T-Pain and the aforementioned Lady Gaga. So if he's able to slither his way in, team up with Tekashi, there's no telling what he could do or what he could make, excluding the people that are making fun of him, because he don't need them. But when we're talking on an international level, we're talking about someone who regardless of how you feel about him, and as we listen to the podcast, saying like the dude is a good marketer. He can market his ass off, and I'm talking about Tekashi.
For sure.
So I think Akon looking at this as a business opportunity and being like, shit, if ain't nobody else going to do it, I'll do it. Like, I got enough money. I don't give a fuck what people say about me in the street. So if the music industry is going to respond to this, and we've seen that it has, shit, it's hot. I feel him. I wouldn't do it, but I feel him as Akon doing it.
Nah, he looks hella thirsty. He looks washed up doing this because Akon shouldn't have to do this.
That's the thing about it, though. He's washed up. He's out of touch, and he don't care what niggas think. Like, that's the perfect, I think, formula to sign a nigga like Tekashi. Most other people in Akon's position that could probably sign him and it'd be an instant, like, what's going on? They not going to touch him because everything, like the street stuff, the snitching stuff. Akon don't give a shit about that, man. He from Africa. Like, it's like that, like the moral codes and things that American black street life is about, I don't think that he really has to take heed to. So he like, fuck it. If I can make some money with this dude.
That's what I'm saying, though. People aren't. The average person doesn't take heed to that street code. Like, just
exactly. And I think that's what Akon is banking it on. He's banking it on, like, the average person. They weren't the people that were giving Akon hell behind this. It's the hip-hop community. It's us. It's black people. There's a larger community that he can capture. And, like, all Tekashi got to do is keep doing what he's doing. Unless one of them non-trade niggas pop up and shoot him, he going to be good. We came to that conclusion. First, we said it wouldn't be nothing. Then we came to that conclusion, like, oh, he's definitely going to have a career once he gets out. And this is it. Akon going to help him. Africa's going to be rocking to that shit.
That shit ain't nothing. And it sounded terrible.
Like, it was awful.
Oh, my God. They asked Styles P about it. He said, man, I ain't co-signing that shit.
Styles P was on there, wasn't he?
He was on the original version, yeah.
Fuck that, yeah.
That shit's slossage. Akon, yeah, dude, come on, man.
I'm not here for it at all, but I can see what Akon doing as a businessman. I can't 100%. I wouldn't do it. I don't support it. I don't think it's cool, but I definitely see his angle.
He like, tripping.
What you going to do to Akon? Nigga got a whole country. Or a city or whatever the fuck it is. He bought a Providence. Whatever that nigga got, he got one. He just go there with his army of police and niggas can't do shit to him. He don't give a fuck what y'all saying.
Nobody's going to do anything, but it's a letdown.
And he
like
don't put music out. Like, that's what I'm saying. Like, he don't even put music out. It's all a win for him. Like, he's not in fear of putting an album out and people not buying it because he fuck with Tekashi. His only loss would be here if he invest a whole lot of money and then it flop. And I don't even see him having to do that. I sit down with this nigga on IG a couple times, get people talking about it, and boom, we'll put an album out. I make $1 million. And I never got to talk to this nigga again.
That's nuts.
That's crazy. That's the
That's some slaw. Next up, man, Fat Joe. Man, Fat Joe, while speaking with Peter Rosenberg on an IG live interview, he mentioned that Drake was almost on the All The Way Up remix along with Hove. However, he had already promised Hove that he wouldn't put anybody else on the remix. My question to you, actually two questions. If you had a remix and you had to choose between one of the other, Drake or Jay-Z, who would you get? And part two, if you had to keep one as a rap friend in your pocket, knowing that the other would be pissed off that you didn't put them on, who would you keep as your rap friend? Two-part question. What do you got?
Very good questions, both of them. And as to all their variables, if I'm Fat Joe, it's more important to me to be cool with Jay-Z. Mm-hmm. And I'll tell you why. There's a phrase out there. Most people are familiar with it. Old money and new money. We can swip this to old legacy and new legacy. It's true having Drake on a song would do wonders for a nigga like Fat Joe. Like, it would be fantastic. He'd have a number one. He'd make history. The doors that Jay-Z is able to open for you behind the scenes, just Drake hasn't reached those yet. And it ain't a knock or a diss. It's just he doesn't have the longevity yet. And Fat Joe being in the game as long as Jay-Z has, he knows if I need a favor from a nigga, I'd rather Jay owe me a favor than Drake. It just is what it is. Mm-hmm. So I feel like that if I had to choose one to put on a song, if I'm Fat Joe, I would have to go with Jay-Z like he did because it makes sense for him. We had this beef. It's a big moment for older hip-hop heads. Now, I ain't saying that it's going to do anything for Fat Joe and the youth, but I'm not sure that's the route he tries to go. And it's part of the reason why I said I take Jay-Z. Fat Joe not putting out an album next year. Like, if I'm putting an album out, if I got a young group I'm putting out, somebody besides Remy Martin, yeah, I want Drake on my team. But if I'm playing the executive route, I'm trying to do these albums and mix with different people, do my management thing, do my CEO thing, as Fat Joe is trying to do, like he over Remy Martin and Terror Squad, then I'm fucking with Jay. And I could see why he do that. So my answer is Jay-Z to both.
I'm agreeing with that, and I have another angle to take on it. But if you remember, he did like 4 remixes to this. He did like the West Coast remix and the EDM remix and the fucking, I think he even had like an Asian remix. He did a lot of remixes.
I didn't know that. To All the Way Up?
Yes.
Jesus.
And those were for different markets. The Asian remix obviously didn't hit our airwaves.
But, was it an Asian rap on there? Like, what was it?
Yeah, for sure. He had a couple of them on there.
Fuck.
So, listen.
And to be fair, like, that's what putting Jay-Z on a song does.
I agree.
I got you in the Asian markets and shit, but go ahead.
That song was huge. And listen, we didn't think Fat Joe had another one of those in him. I'm not going to lie to you. That was 2016. Right, I didn't know he had it. I get it. I would have loved to hear both of them on there. I think that would have been super dope. But that leads to my question. What is up with artists not wanting anybody else featured on the songs with them, dude?
That was going to be my next point after you made your point. I was going to say it's kind of soft of Hove. Because, you know, like he back channeling. He know niggas want to hop on that. He know that Drake want to get on there. He know that 50 want to get on there. They said Kanye possibly wanted to get on there. For him to come out and be like, hey, bro, like, I know this big for you and me. Like, off our history. Like, I don't want nobody else. Like, what the fuck are you talking about? I miss the old hip hop, man. Where like if Jay want everybody on the song, nigga, put me last and I'm gonna murder them niggas. Like you can't get on there, just go ahead and send me the verse so I can murder y'all niggas at the end. And also on Drake end, okay, you don't want to send me the instrumental 40. Pull that shit up. I'm gonna go in on every nigga that I hear on this song. Y'all niggas getting 150 balls. Fat Joe don't want to send me the instrumentals. Are you okay? Cool. I'm throwing slick shots at Fat Joe. Are you put Hov on a remix? You catching strays? Remy Ma catching strays? Like I'm going in. Cause y'all trying to keep the beat. And y'all want me to get no shine? I'm the hottest nigga in the game, man. Load the beat up, 40. I miss those days when niggas felt like that. Now niggas got these cold wars and silent wars, which we'll get into, and these complex disses, and you got to figure out who they talking about by doing math problems. Man, take that shit to the booth. I can't believe that Jay-Z has to shy away and be like, oh man, I don't want anybody else on there. Nor can I believe that Drake didn't take advantage of it and just air niggas the fuck out. I miss those days.
Now listen, it's a thing bro, it's that alpha dog shit, bro. Like it's the alpha dog shit.
But you used to be able to be the alpha dog by showing you was better than niggas. Not playing with niggas. It's the same thing with the NBA now. Like the reason that I take Jordan over LeBron to take it to a whole nother level is because LeBron teamed up with other people. Jordan was like, I'm beating you. You play for that team. My team is going to beat yours. I don't want you to come play with me. I don't want to go play with you. I'm going to beat you, my nigga. I miss that competitiveness.
And your boy Kendrick pulled the same thing with on Rich the Kid, New Freezer. He said, I'll do the record, but it only got to be me on there. And whack. So ASAP Ferg got scrapped.
Well, I mean, look, wouldn't scrap ASAP Ferg, though.
I mean, but still, why wouldn't you just jump
now,
on the
that's
song?
A different thing, though. That's quality, though.
No, Kendrick, don't do him any kind of way.
Well, I'll be the first to admit, I don't listen to ASAP Ferg. I'll first say that. But a nigga not going to tell me that ASAP Ferg got bars. And if I'm Kendrick, the only reason that I wouldn't want a nigga like ASAP Ferg on there is because it's going to fuck the song up. I don't know what this nigga going to get on here and do. This whatever the fuck them niggas do when they click. But they ain't rapping. It's some ASAP shit. Like, I hate to play favorites, but I don't think it's the same case. You're just trying to shit on Kendrick.
It's not
the same case. I think Jay was scared of those Drake bars. That's what I think.
I don't think Jay knew that Drake was going to be on it.
Well, he didn't want to be on there with Kanye. Because Kanye and 50 Cent were the other two names that were being thrown around to get on this song.
That would have been 50, crazy.
50 wanted to be on there really bad, and Kanye West made inquiries about getting on the song too.
Listen, I've had people tell me that work in the industry of how they have tried
to pick up that name you dropped over there. I have industry friends that told me
that have tried to get two top tier artists together to work on something business related, not even music, business related, and they wouldn't do it because one wanted their name on it and nobody would agree to it. So it's like people want, if they can't get sole credit, then they don't want to be a part of it. And that is, I don't understand that. I guess I haven't made enough money yet. I don't know. Maybe I get to a certain level and I get it, but that's strange to me. That's why you don't see, you know how people are like, man, if Puff and LeBron and Jay put their money together, then we could have X, Y, Z. It's because they're all alpha dogs and they want it all to themselves, bro. It's a mind thing that I haven't reached that level of success to comprehend yet.
Well, there's something there. I agree with that, because there have been stories with Jay and Puff. I guess it's competition in a way. A gay competition, well, not gay, but a competition that I don't really approve of is saying, like, the Cold War I don't like. I feel like competition should be had on the court. So not having someone involved in it because you want your name first, I will never understand that either, like you said. I like the competition aspect of it. I like that. Well, I say this. The Control verse, I think, fucked this up. When Control verse came out and Kendrick said these things, I think people became a lot more cognizant of who they were rapping with and what they were rapping about. Because he took that from Big Sean, that single, that moment, and made it about him. And then from then on out, I think we've seen a lot of quote-unquote cold wars in hip-hop. Drake and Kendrick really don't mess with each other. You've been waiting on a Cole and whatever album. It just seems like everybody is in their own corners. And I think that started with the Control verse.
Yeah, I guess so, man. What's next?
Next, before we get into the Run the Jewels breakdown that we're doing of RTJ4, we're going to talk about your man, Academics. Academics has a bone to pick with Freddie Gibbs. Ax says that Freddie Gibbs is very quick to call out blog boys when they say something that he doesn't agree to. But when he's throwing jabs at rappers, you have to figure out Morris Cole to know who he's talking about. Do you think that Freddie Gibbs bites his tongue, or is Ack reaching?
So this stemmed from Gibbs throwing shots at presumably Gunna and T.I. because he said that anybody that is on any type of Crime Stoppers show is a snitch. And we know Gunna, y'all seen the footage of Gunna floating around when he was on a Crime Stoppers type commercial or expose or whatever, about because his brother was involved in some shit. And of course we know what T.I. had to do in order to not be in jail still to this day. So people connected the dots and thought that's who he was talking about. Now, I'm not sure if that's the same as snitching. I don't really know. I don't live that life. I'm a civilian.
It's what the same as snitching? Being on Crime Stoppers? Yeah, you can't be on Crime Stoppers.
I don't know, man. I wouldn't know. I'm not in this life. But I'll take your word for it.
Well, now, I'm going to explain it when you get done.
That's fair. Gibbs did go on to say that, hey, I didn't say no names. That's y'all that said the shit. Like, y'all out here throwing names out here and all this. He said if y'all would promote people staying out of the street, then you wouldn't have to snitch. And that y'all are the ones that are making the snitching shit cool because y'all glorifying this life that everybody is not built for. But I do think that DJ Academics is an easy target. But we've heard Freddie Gibbs diss people before. We've heard him diss Jeezy. I've heard him diss all of Maybach Music. So, I mean, it's not damn, as if he won't call anybody out. But
he dissed Wale.
All of Maybach Music.
I missed that.
So
it's been on one of them sleeper Freddie Gibbs projects.
Yeah, it's called the song is called 187 Proof. So y'all can listen to that, and it's fire. But so he'll call people out, man. But Ack has a little bit of a point. Because, yeah, you're right. You didn't say names, but, nigga, we knew who you were talking about. So that's the whole point. But you said my name. You didn't go discreet when you're talking to me. So he has a little bit of a point, but Gibbs has dissed people before, so he's got receipts. So I'm taking Gibbs' side on this one. Who you got?
You brought up a good point when you said something that you were saying as far as Freddie Gibbs and Ack addressing him about this. Ack is not a street dude. So like you just said, when you said, well, I'm not about that life, Freddie Gibbs wasn't dissing Gunner or dissing T.I. I think more so he was looking for information. And he goes, well, where I'm from, we don't do that. Like, we know where Gangsta Gibbs from, Gary, Indiana. We know how to get down. And I think that what he was saying, and he may have been talking to T.I. and Gunner, but what he was really saying is like, where I'm from, we don't do that. I understand you guys may have had circumstances where this was called for. I get it, but I'm just telling you, we don't do that in Gary, Indiana, which is fair. Everybody don't get down the same way. People have different lives that they live. T.I. had to do it for parole purposes. Gunner, like you said, he said that it had nothing to do with Crime Stoppers, and that wasn't even the show. It had more to do with his homeboy, and he was just...
He
was trying to clear his brother name, and he cleared that up on Breakfast Club. Y'all check that interview out.
Yeah.
So the biggest thing here is academics just not being a part of that life. And when Freddie Gibbs talks about people, as we've seen with Jeezy, he does say their name. He is very clear to say those people's name that he's talking about. Even on Instagram, if you follow him on Twitter, like, Freddie Gibbs don't bite his tongue. Like, he's always very clear in what he says. But because he is a street dude, and he know that there are variables with everything that goes, he know that T.I. is not a snitch. He know that in his heart of hearts. It's a good line to say in your song. But T.I.'s paperwork is out there. And I don't know if he knows Gunna, but I'm sure that he knows his affiliations. And I think that Gunna is a little dude that he don't want smoke with. And I ain't saying Freddie Gibbs weak or anything, but I just look up Gunner and what he got going on. I don't think that he won't smoke with him. So it's fair for him as an MC to be like, man, these niggas did, and I wonder what that's about. Like, that's music. Like, you can put your thoughts out there. But I don't think, like I said, he was calling them snitch. Ack was reaching with it, as blog boys do. He's not familiar with this type of life, so he wouldn't understand Freddie Gibbs asking that question or saying that we don't do this way. All he sees it as is beef, opportunity for his channel, opportunity for his show. Are you talking about me? Won't you be clear when you talk about T.I.? And it's just not the same. He's trying to tie it all into the same. Like, I think Freddie Gibbs, I'm siding with him in this. I'm becoming more of a Freddie Gibbs fan, especially with this last album. I don't really fuck with Ack like that anyway. I just think that he doesn't know what's going on. So it's easy for him to say, oh, well, why are you doing this way? But I think that Freddie Gibbs handled it as a person of his ilk would. I ain't calling nobody out for no reasons that I don't know. I'm just telling people that I don't do shit like that. And we don't do shit like that where I'm from. And that's fair.
No, I get it. I get it. And it may have been a general statement. And like you said, there may be nuances to each of these two T.I. and Gunner's situations that he may not have been thinking of them when he was saying that. But it do sound fishy, though, to somebody like Ack, who not engulfed in it like
exactly.
That.
And that's the biggest thing. That Ack's not, he doesn't know what's going on. It's all the same to him. It's black and white. When in the streets, there's gray area. And with those gray area, I think that Freddie Gibbs is operating there in this verse. But like I said, he ain't hesitating to talk to none of these niggas or going at them from what I've seen.
187 proof, man. Y'all look that song up.
There's no way that nigga got a diss. Did he diss Ross too?
All of MMG.
Styley too?
Okay, man, not him though. Everybody else that's called proof. It though.
187 proof. I'm gonna check that out.
Tough. All right,
late
man.
Freddie Gibbs fan.
Speaking of checking stuff out, man, Run the Jewels 4, the group chat talked me into listening to this.
Talked you.
Y'all drug me into clicking on this on my title. Now, Run the Jewels 4, first announced in 2018. Fans have been waiting on this for a stretch. 2018 seems like 20 years ago because this year has been nuts. But expectations, initial thoughts, highlights, lowlights, and a rating. Y'all know how we get down. Where were you when it came to expectations on this RTJ4?
Expectations were high. I like the other Run the Jewels projects. It's not in heavy rotation, but I do appreciate them when they come out. So I'm always looking forward to Killer Mike versus the any way that I could get them. I would prefer it be more traditional route, but if it's Run the Jewels, it's Run the Jewels. I like to support my guy, Killer Mike, and I was waiting on this. What about you?
I don't believe that, number one.
Facts. I was waiting on this. And the merch, Kill Your Masters? Come on, man. I need that in a jacket, a hat, a scarf.
Merch is hard. Oh, man. The merch is hard, no lie. Now, I have never, my expectations were low. Let me get that out of the way. I have never.
Why would you say it was low?
Because I've never sat with a full Run the Jewels project before. I remember 3 was probably the one I've heard the most of. But I've never sat with it for real. I've heard a few songs. I quickly learned that this was not for me. I'm not a fan of Killer Mike's music. Killer Mike is my guy outside the booth, without question. He's the epitome. His music is the epitome of Luther's curl. It just never really quite. Not for me.
Even the rap album? Born to Rap, that first album you like?
Yeah,
that?
Nah, I'm straight.
Jesus Christ.
I just never got into it. I'm not saying it's trash. I just never got into it. But I know Killer Mike can rap, though. That I do know. Let's be very clear about that. But I did think the timing of this release was right on time. Like, if there was ever a time for this type of album to come out and resonate with people, it would be now. So I went ahead and decided I'll give it a spin. I'll listen to this when the timing just lined up perfectly. And I'll go into my initial thoughts. As soon as I heard it, as soon as it came on, the very first song, I said, oh, okay, I get why people like this. I get what lane they're in. I understand it completely off the rip. It's Rage Against the Machine. It's loud. It's disruptive. You got a white guy from Brooklyn. You got a black guy from the South. Like, I'm picturing their live shows, probably super dope, high energy. I understand what the appeal is. You know what I'm saying? Like, I get it more, you know, than a week ago when I didn't. You know what I'm saying? So and Killer Mike hasn't lost a step since the last time I was checking for his music. Now, his partner in rhyme, LP.
You ain't fucking with LP?
Don't know about him.
What do you don't like about that? He don't like LP style?
Absolutely not. I don't know what the fuck you're talking about. I'm gonna be real. I'm gonna come clean. But the music I did actually enjoy the project, though. I will say that. So my initial thoughts was, this isn't too far out of my realm, you know, of enjoyment. It's cool. I was digging it more than I thought, but it gave me an understanding of why they have that niche audience and why they're popular with their fans as they are. I totally get it. What did you think when you heard it, though?
I had checked into previous Run the Jewels project. So for me, it was what was expected. The temperature of what's going on right now in this music was right on point. Like you said, this was the perfect time. They pushed up the release date for this to come out. So this is a perfect time for this to drop. And as soon as you get into it and you listen to that first song, like you said, loud, disruptive, it's things like, for lack of a better term, this is protest music. And to put it out now, it like hit perfectly. So as I'm going through this and some of the bars and some of the things that Killer Mike was saying about the Can't Breathe line and all the different things that he put out there, I think it was perfect for what was going on right now. The climate has a lot to do. Had this came out in December around Christmas time, the shit was chill. I don't know if I would have received it the same way. But yeah. This is something you throw on. You go for a jog. You go do your workout, whatever it is that you do that's athletic or where you're getting the juices flowing. This is perfect for that. And as I was jogging around the block and listening to this, I was like, oh, this is fucking fire. So I'm coming away from it, like, especially listening. Again, like you said, LP, I'm not the biggest fan. I get it. I get like the dynamic of the group and why people are into this. Like I say, it's not in heavy rotation for me, but after listening to this one, doing something like athletic or working out while you're listening to it pairs it well, the times that it came out in, like, there was a perfect formula for this album to be highly received, and I think it was.
People were calling this a classic.
Whoa, buddy.
Yeah, people got to calm down.
Whoa, buddy. Whoa, buddy.
You got to slow down.
Easy, buddy.
Yeah, chill out. I get it. Tensions are high right now. I get it. I think it's the time. We're a little emotional.
It's the time. Like, it hit so hard. Nigga, you put this Run the Jewels on and look at CNN.
No, but look, though. No, look.
You're going to be ready to go protest. Yeah, you're going to be ready to go protest, man.
Timing is important when you're speaking about a release because that affects impact. And impact affects whether something is that's a trait of a classic. It has to have impact. I get that. But LP's just not as good of enough rapper. If these were two Killer Mikes, maybe. But my ears take a vacation when LP is on. Like, I'm tuning it out just a little bit. I'm not saying he can't rap. I just his style does nothing for me. That's why I say they're good together, because the only reason I'm listening is for Killer Mike.
That makes sense. Let me ask you this. LP produced the tracks and everything, and we know Killer Mike can rap. You said he's had lackluster albums. If there was a producer that you could pair Killer Mike up with for one project and he just used that producer, who would it be?
Man, that's a good question, but it's tough because I feel like his style of rap fits this type of production better, and I think...
It's just not entertaining.
It's just not my style, but it fits him, though.
So you wouldn't switch the style, you just like, fuck it.
Because what he tried other shit before. His rap shit don't sound like this. His, to my knowledge, let me say that.
Okay.
I don't remember it sounding like this when he was doing his solo thing. When he was with Outkast and Aquemini Records or whatever the fuck it was called. His shit didn't have the rock elements in it. Yeah.
Purple Label or something like that.
Purple Label, yeah, whatever it was.
Big boy label.
Yeah. So Purple Ribbon, there you go.
Purple Ribbon, there it is.
I don't remember it sounding like this, but his voice and what he's talking about fits this type of production. So I can't sit and be like, man, get Timbaland on here or get Swiss or like that shit. It wouldn't sound right. It'd be too clean at that point. It needs to be muddied up. It needs to be dirtied. It needs to be, take some of the crispiness out of the sound. It's got to be gritty, and I think this fits. So I'll give them that. Like, even the Pharrell joint wasn't a typical Pharrell-sounding commercial joint. Like, he kind of grittied it up a little bit for him. Who would you switch it up? Who would you have?
I'd like to hear him with Swiss. It's funny that you said that. Well, I think Swiss is versatile enough to be able to kind of get in Killer Mike's pocket, and his beats are big enough. I don't think that Killer Mike could get on there and kill no soul samples, not because he couldn't rap, but like because you said it just ain't his style. But Swiss, I feel like he makes big music, stadium music, what per se. I'd love to see him with Swiss or even Kanye West. I think that Kanye can adjust his style if we go to My Beautiful Talk, Twisted Fantasy.
I can see that. I think
if you put Killer Mike on some of those beats, he will fucking obliterate those.
I can see that.
I think Kanye was a Swiss beast. Well, I mean, those are the easy answer, but those are the two that I had when I had the question in my head.
And remember, been on the Kanye beat before, though. He was on
Poppin' Tags.
Yeah, he was on Poppin' Tags, even though that's not the style. That's not My Beautiful Dark Twisted Fantasy style, but he's versatile enough. I'm picturing if you get Killer Mike on Somehow, Some Way type shit, I think he'll body that shit, though.
Yeah, he might could do the slow samples. That may be. Niggas need to bring back Jack and Beats, man. Niggas need to just bring back Jack and Beats. I want one good-ass rapper, whether it be like Kendrick, I think J. Cole, somebody just come back and like just murder some beats.
That'll be dope.
I'd love to see that. I'd love to fucking see that now. What song stood out to you on here?
Man, my highlights were, I like Walking in the Snow. I thought Killer Mike snapped on that. I like Pulling the Pin. And my favorite joint on here, without question, man, the last song, A Few Words for the Firing Squad.
That shit banging.
That, the last song is fucking flames, nigga. That shit is hard as hell. All around strong production. Everything from the beats to the transitions to the skits. I thought all of that sounded beautifully. I had to put some respect on Killer Mike's name. I listened on my good headphones on the title. Hi-fi. I wanted to get the full experience of Run the Jewels. I wasn't going to cheat them and listen on the Apple shit. I didn't cheat them. And I also thought the album was just the right length. I thought it was straight to the point. I listened to this while I was playing Madden. Didn't feel like it was dragging on. You know what I'm saying? This was a nice joint to kind of stay and focus on whooping niggas on Madden and shit. So I give it that. It was just the right length. Wasn't too long. Pause.
Nice. Definitely pause on that. I'm going to say something here that's probably going to be bookmarked. Another one of my great on-deck affirmations here. Killer Mike is the second best rapper in the game behind Kendrick Lamar. I'll put Killer Mike in front of anybody, and I'm taking Killer Mike, unless it's Kendrick. And that's based off everything that I heard here. The Yankee and the Brave were first out of the gate banging. Of course, Out of Sight with 2 Chainz. I liked the song Jest with Pharrell. Walking in Snow with Gangsta Boo, even though she's not credited on there. I wonder why they didn't credit her. But that Walk in the Snow with Gangsta Boo was fire.
That's the second time they've worked with her, too. She was on, I think she was on Run the Jewels 3.
Really? What? You're right. You're absolutely right. I like Holy Camel Fuck, if that's how you're saying that, or Holy Calamar Fuck, or whatever that says. Those are the main, I think that may be my favorite song other than the last one. I didn't want to take that one because you had it. But those are the four that stood out to me the most. And the thing, well, I say what people would call this a classic, is once you get into this style, when you start out with Yankee and the Brave Four, just based on the breaks, the features, and how everything lines up, it's only a 39-minute album. I could see why people say that, though I haven't sit with enough to call it that. It's like it's straight through. Like, you don't get a once it starts, and there is no, like, lag. There is no dull moment. Tuned in for Run the Jewels and you, like, knew what you were expecting to get, man, you love this fucking album. Because, like, it was straight through, if that's what you were looking for. Like, if you weren't picking stuff out, if you like, man, I'm a Run the Jewels fan and I can't wait for this album to come out, man, you fucking love this. Because it was just, bam, it hit you in the face as soon as it came on, and it didn't stop until it went off.
This album is like uncut gems. Like, you're on the edge of your seat with anxiety. The whole damn movie.
That's a great movie too.
Yeah, that movie was tough, but that movie kept the pace up though. Like every turn, no spoilers or none, but every turn, Adam Sandler had to come up with something so he could cover his ass on the previous thing while he didn't run into the person that he also owed, and it just kept going, and kept coming at you. This album is definitely like that, and you just made me think of something when you mentioned working with Kanye West. This is a lot like Yeezus while people are sleeping.
I was so prepared to come in here for you to shit on this album and then ask you, how do you shit on this and like Yeezus? I had to go listen to I couldn't listen to the whole thing, but I had to listen to a couple tracks in preparation because I thought you were going to shit on this because you don't like one of the Drools. And I was going to say the exact same thing you said. This is similar to Yeezus. So if people like that, I don't see how they could not like this.
Except Yeezus is better.
No, worse bars. So this got better bars than Yeezus.
Possibly.
Easily.
Lowlights, what didn't work?
My style, and this is not taken away from the album, but I'm nitpicking here. I need a break. I'm more of a slow paced type of guy. I need some with some lower
BPM.
People call it, yes, sir. You knew exactly where I was going.
Tempo?
Yeah, slow that shit down for me, man. Give me some. I really wish, whether it be an extra song or a bonus, just give me some Down South Killer Mike shit. I don't need LP on there. That's the only nitpick that I have. This leaves me wanting more from Killer Mike. Like, you get your fix and you realize, man, it's a rapping ass nigga right here. Like, he be fucking killing it. I wish that there was something more like what I'm into that he was doing more of. That's my bad takeaway.
Remember the 2 Chainz Pretty Girls Like Trap Music, the very last song on there with Monica?
Mm-hmm. Burglar Doors, something like that.
Yeah, some shit.
Burglar Bars, I think is the name of it.
Remember he said the next album was going to be all soul
like that, yep.
Whatever he didn't use for that, he needed to give all that to Killer Mike.
And just let him go over that.
Give him Burglar them 12 Bars. Right there. And just let him have, let that be the Killer Mike solo album.
Burglar Bars, that's the name of it.
That
but yeah,
shit
I agree.
Fire.
Niggas need to bring mixtapes back if they, it's how, whatever kind of way, like you said. I need to hear niggas just, I guess, have fun. Like when people were jacking beats, like it was really like you was going to, get a run in at the gym. Like, it ain't a professional game. Like, you ain't got to be suited up and booted, but you're going to go put in work. You're going to get a sweat. And I think to what you're saying with the giving Killer Mike the 2 Chainz beats and what I'm saying as far as getting people just hearing something different from their projects, I think we're missing that right now.
First, for the record, I said DJ Drama should bring back Gangsta Grills last year. Let me be clear on that. We're on the same page because he would be a prime candidate for this.
Who would be if somebody said, you know what, I was listening on deck and I'm gonna do a whole Jack B's project. You can pick one person. Who you got?
It would probably be Killer Mike. No, I don't know.
Really? I was gonna say you're just saying that because we're talking about. Yeah. I'd love to hear J. Cole. Like, we got a lot of him on the feature stuff, but I'd love to hear him, like, tear down some stuff. Big Sean is another one.
Big Sean, for sure. I'd
love to hear, like, Jack and other people's beats. And
that's the only reason. That's the only reason I'd want to hear new Joe Budden if he was on Jack.
Ooh, Joe Jack and Beast would be okay too.
Yeah, that's the only one reason I want to hear.
Fuck with that. Ross, what do you think about Ross? Ross ain't really just got no, like,
what?
He got what? Flow when he picks his own beats.
Yeah, I don't what? Know if
he got flow. Ross, I was listening to Ross the other day, and I'm like, man, this nigga cold.
He murdered that Freddie Gibbs.
He did. He 100%. I don't know if Ross is the Jack and Beast nigga though.
I mean, he's got mixtape. He done. He Jack Beats before they just weren't hitting on nothing like that.
They weren't great. Exactly. They weren't great. So,
speaking
what about
of not
Benny.
Yeah.
Well, I'd love to hear Benny or Conway on some Jack Beats.
That'd be tough.
Yeah.
Speaking of not great, what didn't work for me easily, LP, You Are the Weakest Link.
Jesus.
Not to beat up on him. It's still listenable. He's not slaw. He just, when you put him next to Killer Mike, it's just the difference is glaring. And to my understanding, to shoot him some bail, he's a producer first.
Yeah, so, he's not really a rapper.
Yeah, he's not just a rapper like that. So I shoot him some bail when it comes to that. The songs I didn't like Ground Below, super good on that. And this album didn't sound good to me in the car, man. This not a whip listen. I was in a whip listen to this, it didn't even feel right. Like, I wasn't going to a protest, so it didn't really feel right. Like, I wasn't amped to go.
Streets.
Yeah, like, I was going to Chick-fil-A. Like, I'm
going to rob Chick-fil-A and run over people in the
drive. That's what I'm saying. Like, I'm not Chick-fil-A too nice. I'm this shit making me angry and shit. Like, I'm not, this doesn't work. So, I like listening to music in my car, and this is not, in my opinion, like a car album. It's just not that type of music. So that would be a low light for me, man. What did you give it in terms of a rating?
3.5, easy.
Mm.
I almost gave it 4. When I first originally got done listening to it, I think I said 4. I went back and listened to it again and had to catch myself. So I'm going to go 3.5.
3.5 banging. I'm going to go 3 banging. Just below it. Good, worth streaming. If you've never heard of Run the Jewels project, I'd say give it a try. I'm not sure if this is going to be your scene. But like you said, if you're working out, running around the block on a treadmill or on the PS4, this is probably a good project for you. Real talk. I'm glad I listened to it. You know what I'm saying? I didn't like it as much to make me go back and listen to the first 3, but I'm not mad at this at all. And I get why people fuck with it. That's at the end of the day.
Yeah, this is there is a lane for this music, 100%. I agree with you there.
Y'all let us know what y'all thought, man. Run the Jewels 4, was it everything that people have been anticipating? Are you skipping it altogether? What do you think of the latest Run the Jewels? Let us know on Facebook, in the rap chat, in the group, and on Undeck TV Podcast on Instagram. We got some wins and losses to hand out. Let's get straight to it, man. Let's get a W to Quavo, 1/3 of the Migos, for completing high school and getting his diploma, man. Shout out to Quavo.
Shout out to Quavo for that, man. People were giving him shit about that a couple weeks ago when he did it for just now getting it, man. Shout out to him for getting that.
Why was they giving him shit?
Probably because he's 30 years old and didn't have a GED.
I mean, but he's been famous for a couple of years now. Like, we know.
That's true.
Like, why he didn't get it.
Yeah, that's facts. But hey, people were giving him shit. You know how people are. So shout out to him for getting that, man. He got college eligibility now. He may put some I seen a couple of colleges joking around about offering him a ride to hoop. You know, Quavo's an all athlete.
True. He definitely all rapper athlete out here. He top 5 for sure.
Yeah, 100%. Am I doing this L?
Go for it.
L to Lush Sucks for getting the brakes beat off him for playing with 50 Cent. If you don't know who Lush Sucks is, man, he's a street artist that's dedicated some of his art to making a mockery of 50 Cent. He paints him in unflattering light. And some kind of way or another, some people caught him and they beat the shit out of him for these. 50 said he had nothing to do with this, but I speculate different. Did you see this story?
Yeah, and you've seen those drawings, man. He's got 50 drawing him looking like Tekashi, drawing him looking like Trump. Here's the thing, though. 50 said, man, he's been posting those stuff poking fun at himself on his own page, and he said, somebody needs to beat this dude ass. And then magically,
somebody beat his ass.
A week later, somebody put the hands on him. He's overseas. I think 50's reach can go across the pond, so I wouldn't be surprised if a crazed, too hyped 50 fan just took it upon himself to run up on the street artist Lushix, Lush Sucks, or however you say it. But I'd sue the shit out of 50 Cent if I was him, though. Fuck it, man. Try to get some paper out of that nigga. Fuck it. I would.
I don't think he shoot 50 Cent at all. The next, go ahead.
Yeah, we got a W, man, to NWA. Fuck the Police streams have quadrupled in the last week. Of course, amid the George Floyd protest, the 1988 anti-police brutality anthem has been popping this week, along with This Is America, YG's Fuck Donald Trump, and Kendrick Lamar's All Right. Shout out to NWA, man. Fuck the police.
Nice. I'm with it.
That shit crazy. That shit going all the way up. 272% increase, dude.
I mean, that's the shit. They probably playing that at every protest that's going on in America on repeat.
That was one of the songs on Apple's playlist, too, when you couldn't search or you couldn't browse anything. That was one of the songs.
Really? And shout out to Apple for doing that.
That shit was hard.
Yeah, that was not being able. Madden did it, too. It was pretty
nigga,
cool.
Everything has done that shit. 2K, shit hard, yeah. Madden. Shit, wow. On Decker of the Week, man, all of the artists who have been out in these streets in the past week since the last time we recorded, that's YG. That's Lil Baby. He was out in these streets. And even shout out, we'll cross it over to sports. Shout out Russell Westbrook. Shout out J.R. Smith.
He was beating niggas' ass. Shout out to J.R. Smith, man. Getting it in. Nigga, don't come playing with me. I support J.R. Smith. If you need a GoFundMe or anything, I got a little something for him, man. Playing with me. Nigga, don't be breaking my shit. We live in the suburbs. Nigga, quit playing with me. Take your ass downtown. You want to protest and rap, man.
Kanye West, Kendrick Lamar was seen out. So shout out to the rappers who put feet to the street and have been marching with the people, dog. Super dope.
Man, I was looking for the chick's name in Nashville, the young activist where they sent the SWAT team to her house for the thing that she did. She's very big out here in the streets, and I cannot find her name at all, but I want to shout her out. Y'all look her up. I can't figure out her name. We'll put it in the show notes. Yeah, the young black chick is very, you know what I'm talking about?
Yeah, I know. I can't remember her name. I have an idea, but I don't want to fuck it up.
I've Googled everything to try to find it, and I can't see it. So shout out to her, man. Most people know what I'm talking about. Leave me a note. Tell me what her name is. Put me on something for this week.
This week, so I've been on my movie tip. I was on Apple TV Plus. I watched Brian Banks. Dude.
What is that?
The story about dude who got falsely accused of rape, and then the person recanted her statement, and he got to play for the Falcons. The Falcons signed him like 2 years ago.
Yeah. I know you're talking about the one that got locked up for rape. Janisha Harris is that girl's name. I'm sorry.
Okay, there you go. Yeah, man, listen.
On Deck of the Week, Janisha. What happened with Brian Banks? No, I remember that. He was down here. Somebody accused him of rape. He did like 3-4 years.
No, he did 6 years. Okay.
Jesus Christ.
Then he was on 6 years probation, had to register as a sex offender for the rest of his life, couldn't get work.
Uh-huh.
5 years into his probation, the girl reached out to him on Facebook.
Oh, my God.
Said, hey, how you been? How's everything?
No fucking way.
And he got her on camera admitting that it wasn't her, that he didn't rape her, so she had to give back the money that she had won in the lawsuit, $1.5 million.
That was a civil suit.
Yeah, she had to get the money back and with an extra million on top of it. Man, the story is wild, though.
This is a movie?
Yeah, they made it into a movie.
Jesus. On what? Apple?
Man, I think it's on a lot of other shit. You go to Apple TV app, you can look up movies. They'll tell you where they at. I just press play on that shit, but... I think it might be free, just kind of like how other movies is right now. I don't know, but y'all check it out. It's real short, like an hour and a half, straight to the point. But it's a wild story, bro. That shit crazy. You got?
I got some podcasts for you podcast listeners out there, man. If you guys still knee deep in what's going on and you want more information, a couple of podcasts. There's one called The Ezra Klein Show. He had Ta-Nehisi Coates on there, who's a very prominent author, and they were talking about everything going on right now. It was a fantastic fantastic listen. I can't say that, can't stress that enough. For you Malcolm Gladwell fans, the Revisionist History, the Limits of Power episode. And it's talking about the history behind protests, why they happen, how government stopped them, and the thought processes during protests. Fascinating information in there as well. And another one called Behind the Bastards. And it's about how the police got in this stage that they are now, like how they are set up, the military aspect of it. No, people are seeing a lot of the defund the police things and things like that. Behind the Bastards is a podcast that'll kind of help you decipher through that information and see how the police got to this point that they are now. A lot of good information there. And you guys, I had gotten some requests and I put some stuff in a separate feed. Also look for the featuring Spike Lee. I put some interviews over there that I done with my guy Nikki Duse and I done with my guy Chris Platt. So I'm going to have that feed separate from this one where we're talking about a little bit more serious stuff and going to add to it. Shout out my guy Sam G. He was in my inbox constantly asking me for this. So I'm going to make sure. Yeah, shout out to him. He kept me motivated to do it, man. So I want to make sure that I keep that feed popping. You guys go subscribe to it. It's called Featuring Spike Lee. And I'm going to put some separate stuff over there from this show. So continuing to keep the reel growing.
Much respect. Much respect. Guys, keep supporting us out here in these streets. We appreciate it, man. Patreon.com/RealVille for the additional content. We've got more reviews coming soon. Shout out to my guy, Jay Ho. We did some reviews on there also. We're going to get that Freddie Gibbs up on there too, man. We got to talk about that.
Figure that out.
Got to put some respect on my boy name, man. You've been hating on him for way too long.
I called this Freddie Gibbs album, by the way. I Babe Ruth this one. I said this is going to be his best project. I said this is going to shake it, and it has, and it did what I said. Shout out to Freddie Gibbs,
man.
Oh,
my God.
For finally making a good album.
Appreciate y'all for subscribing, man. iTunes, Spotify, all that good shit. Tell somebody about the On Deck TV podcast this week, man. We appreciate it.
Yes, sir. We definitely appreciate you guys checking us out. And much respect to those FSP boys. Their podcast was great this week. They talked about the athletes' reaction to everything going on. Great job by Big Jeff, Coach Weezy, cameraman, and Jay Hove. Shout out to those guys.
Absolutely, man. Till the next time, we out.
We out of that.